This is White House Report Podcast. Here are the top stories you need to know about today. According to Mission Network News, over the past decade, between 50,000 to 70,000 Christians have been killed by terrorist groups in Nigeria. That's not just a number for Mission Cry. Jason Wilford recently talked about a large shipment of Bibles that a local Christian leader asked to be sent to Nigeria. He was asking for more of the Word of God for distribution. He lost his wife and his two daughters due to the attacks from Boko Haram and the split-off group as well. And here this guy is actually feeling and going through the loss and the murder of his wife and his two daughters because they were believers in Christ. He wasn't calling and asking us for money or food or water, but instead he was saying that he needs more copies of the Word of God for those that are being maimed or those that have lost their family members. They don't even have a Bible of their own. Mission Cry is sending two shipping containers full of nearly $1 million worth of Bibles. They will arrive in Nigeria around December. The Nigerian Christian leader calls the shipment one of the greatest Christmas gifts his area could have been given. What is this leader doing now? According to Wilford, he's continuing on in the ministry, continuing on into taking Bibles to people, even though it's very dangerous. According to CBN News, one California church is rejoicing over the record number of baptisms that took place on September 12th. Calvary Chapel Church in Chino Hills held the outdoor baptism of Corona del Mar State Beach in Newport Beach. Nearly 1,000 people made a public declaration of their faith in Jesus Christ. Church Director Gina Gleason told CBN News that California may be experiencing a spiritual revival. She explained that the typical number of candidates for baptism is 300, but Saturday saw over three times that number. It's remarkable and a significant number, she added. The area where everyone assembled, also known as Pirate's Cove, reflected a scene of jubilation as adults, children, and families encountered the love and goodness of God. According to the Christian Post, three Iranian Christian converts who were facing a combined 35 years in prison because of their faith have fled the country after a court rejected their appeal, according to a Christian persecution watchdog group. Three converts, identified as Vian Falah Mohammadi, Hadi Asghari, and Amin Afshar Naderi, were charged due to their connection to a December 2014 Christmas celebration and were facing a combined 35 years in prison, according to the U.S.-based International Christian Concern. The three men fled the Islamic country just weeks after two other Christians, a pastor and his wife, were forced to flee after their appeals rejected, ICC reported, noting that the flight of five Christians from within a space of a few weeks is noteworthy, especially as their cases were some of the most publicized among Iran's persecuted Christian community. These five cases were all interconnected and traced back to the same Christmas celebration in 2014. There is a sense that Iran wants to force Christians out of the country, but leaving is an incredibly painful and difficult process, ICC said. The church is at an important crossroad, even as persecution in Iran increases. According to Mission Network News, poverty presents a challenge to this mission. More people live below the global poverty line in Bangladesh than anywhere else in South Asia. There seems to be, from the American perspective, a difference between Bangladeshi citizens and the Rohingya population that's coming in, Michael says. Instead of seeing Rohingya refugees as people who need Christ and compassion, some Bangladeshis view them as competition for scarce resources. Forgotten Missionaries International offered Bangladeshi pastors a different outlook during a recent training session. He made a slideshow of pictures that painted the Rohingya in a more accurate light. He showed pictures of Rohingya children crying because they were starving and off the bread lines. We showed some of the UN efforts to help in the area, Michael describes. I started seeing a change during the conference. When we did that vision casting sessions and we showed some of the needs that are in those camps, a large majority of the pastors would say, we'd like to see if we could help or, at the very least, bring these prayer concerns back to our people. By showing pastors another side of the Rohingya refugee crisis, FMI leaders hoped believers would reconsider their current perspective. It's all about how the Rohingya are viewed, so that's the first way, and probably most accessible for us to start changing their hearts, Michael says. According to Charisma News, while Somebody Cares International is still providing emergency response to people pummeled by Hurricane Laura, Hurricane Sally is hitting the same coastal regions of Louisiana and Florida. Cell phones and computers are abuzz, connecting the staff and volunteers of the Houston, Texas-based nonprofit with local churches and organizations that are ready to help. There's no time to waste. People are in distress. It's the heart of God, said Doug Stringer, founder of Somebody Cares, which has grown into its international reach. When you're able to go and be the heart of Jesus, it touches the hearts of people to receive the gospel message. Instead of seeing divisiveness, you see everyone working as neighbors and you see the Church of America engaged. That's the real church in America. In Sulphur, Louisiana, for example, the parking lot at Celebration Worship Center has been turned into a drive-through restaurant of sorts. A cross-section of people from Somebody Cares, local churches, and the community are preparing and handing out meals for the seemingly endless line of cars moving through. By Tuesday night, 18,500 hot meals had been served. Volunteers offer to pray with people as worship music broadcasts over speakers, setting the tone. It's a physical, emotional, and spiritual outreach. According to Assist News Service, a new national landmark which aims to profile a million answered prayers has been given the go-ahead to be built on a site near Coles Hill on the outskirts of Birmingham, England. Eternal Wall of Answered Prayer will stand at 169 feet and is expected to attract 300,000 visitors each year, contributing £9.3 million to the local economy. The iconic Eternal Arch structure will be constructed using 1 million bricks, with each representing individual prayers that have been answered for people across the country. In addition, using interactive technology and a bespoke app, visitors will be able to use their smart device, holding it against any brick, to read the individual answered prayers and the personal stories behind them. After North Warwickshire Borough Council granted planning permission, the Secretary of State ratified the decision, giving Eternal Wall of Answered Prayer CEO Richard Gamble the green light to start the building. The former chaplain of Leicester City Football Club is a visionary behind the monumental structure. Gamble says it's been 16 years since the idea was first born. to finally receive official consent. Consent is incredible. We're building a very special landmark, and it is an amazing opportunity for the British people to leave a legacy of hope for future generations. Eternal Wall of Answered Prayer will make hope visible to the UK. It is unique in that it is all about the community. It is crowd-funded, and a million people will come together to crowd-create this incredible piece of art with their stories of hope. What we're doing is historic. According to Mission Network News, Era Baptist Theological Seminary, ABTS, announced a new partnership with the Arabic Nazarene Bible College that will introduce new perspectives and continue a pattern of cross-denominational collaboration. Arabic Nazarene Bible College operates a semi-formal training program in Lebanon and Jordan, training church members. Already, ABTS has a faculty member who belongs to Arabic Nazarene's faculty. Eli Haddad of ABTS explains that when pursuing partnerships through faculty or others, the seminary is careful to consider their partner organizations too. Haddad outlines what this collaboration will look like for ABTS and its students. The first level of collaboration is hiring Nazarene faculty, so Nazarene students would start to enroll at ABTS. Initially, extra material that's not part of our curriculum but is needed for coordination, or rather, but is needed for ordination by the Nazarene Church, will be given informally by the Nazarene Church. Haddad explains, little by little, we will take those components and add them to our curriculum so Nazarene students, as well as ABTS students, will be able to take these specially focused courses. Haddad says both parties hope these beginning steps will go smoothly, allowing the collaboration to culminate in the creation of the Arab Center for Wesleyan Studies at ABTS. This center would benefit both students from congregations with Wesleyan theology and students who simply want to learn more. You can read these stories and more at WhiteHouseReport.com. In closing, remember, God loves you. He always has and He always will. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today is a good day to get to know Him. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead for you. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart, and He will. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless you.